All right, buddy. First presser of the year. Hit us with the beats.
My friend Sean Marks and Steve Nash are back in front of the microphones to give us that sense of kicking off the season as we check another box. They give us a lot of information around players, but specifically the high-level view stuff was really what we focus in on, from vaccines and the accomplishments of getting guys re-signed on their extensions. It's all a part of it, and really just giving a sense of confidence, I think, to you and I and the fan base that this thing is ready to get back rolling again. It's just a matter of tipping off.
It's going to be a great season. I'm instilled with confidence. I couldn't even get the word out. That's how confident I am. I'm stumbling. I'm stumbling with confidence. We're going to get into it all, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, Brooklyn Nets, every single day, and soon enough, every single day during the regular season. I am Doug Norrie, obviously host of the Locked On Nets podcast, also the owner and operator of DFSR.com, got you covered for daily fantasy projections over there, and that is Adam Armbrecht. He's also the voice of the, he's the host, there you go, got it, of the One Giant Podcast. You got a lot of hats, buddy. It's kind of hard to keep track of all the stuff you're doing. The host of the One Giant Podcast, where he's covering the New York Football Giants as well. So he's got Brooklyn, he's got New York / New Jersey on complete lock, buddy. How are we doing? We're taping this right after the Sean Marks, Steve Nash presser that kind of seems like it might be kicking off the season here.
Yeah, man, it's like all these check marks we get during the offseason, and it's the draft, it's free agency, it's trying to see and sense where the roster is going to go. And then when you finally get Sean Marks and Steve Nash like at an official Brooklyn Nets press conference, you go, okay, this is one of the last things that we need to check off before we can really start to ramp ourselves up and feel like, and it is just around the corner, we're only weeks away from the season actually officially getting underway.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at this presser. There's a lot to talk about. They kind of said a lot. You know, sometimes pressers, you can kind of dance around subjects, and Marks and Nash definitely do that. They're pros at handling the media for sure. There were some media members that pressed them a little bit more than others, which we can dive into. They got into player-specific stuff, and so there's really a lot to talk about. We might end up stretching this out over two episodes because they, you know, it was a half-hour presser, and they talked a lot about the team, and it was really, really good. One thing I wanted to get into before we get into the presser, because as we gear up for the regular season here, it is funny about sort of how time is slow, but also flies, because it feels like now we're coming out of the off season, and you and I, if you look back at our conversations for when we got out of the regular out of the playoffs, we're like, all right, here's our offseason plans. Here's the content we're going to do. I don't think we did any of the content that we had planned. It's not because we didn't do anything. It ended up being there was so much to talk about during the offseason that all this stuff that we thought we had sort of geared up and ready to go and in the chamber for content, it ended up not even mattering because the Nets are definitely like a 12-month-a-year business at this point when it comes to news. They're really... I never felt like there was a single piece of downtime, really, for this entire offseason.
No. Yeah, like I say, with best laid plans, I guess, and in a good way, that we had a sense of, boy, what are things we can delve into? What's the extra layer deeper? And maybe, to some extent, going like, what's a layer that maybe people aren't even interested if we go into, right, just to be sure that we were going to have things to talk about? And then, thankfully, it was just like layer after layer, and not unlike the season where you get games and everything. This was just like little news drop here, a little bit of player information there, and all of a sudden, we filled it out, and we found ourselves now winding in and gearing up towards the regular season. Before we get into the specifics of the press conference, I was just curious. Did you feel like I turned it on and I saw Steve Nash sitting there, and I know he's been the head coach since last year, but I was like, oh, like he's a full blown coach now. Like, yeah. His mannerisms, the way he was sitting, the way he was answering questions, like everything about it just looked like a dude that is fully now immersed as a full-time head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm not saying he wasn't doing all of those things last year, but it looks like there's a level of comfort for him now, and almost to the extent of being like, he seemed pretty casual. He wasn't overly concerned about what people were asking him. He was just kind of, you know, having a conversation, and it didn't seem like there was any strain for him of... of where he wanted to form his answers or how he wanted to respond to certain people. It just looked like he's gotten into that next level of comfort, which, listen, if you want to read the tea leaves, it seems like a positive sign that Steve Nash is very much in the driver's seat of this franchise.
Oh, he was totally comfortable. And I never thought he was uncomfortable last year, but this was clearly, there was a plan in place. He was very comfortable, obviously, with the personnel, both on court and off court. He talked a lot about that during the presser, about all the prep they'd been doing, sort of what he had spent the offseason doing, how they'd been getting ready, thinking about the past season and sort of what it meant moving forward. He said all the right things. I totally agree with you. He and Marks looked just like the pillar of confidence. Does it matter for wins and losses? I mean, probably, right? I mean, I don't, and again, he came in last year and it wasn't like he was, and he wasn't wobbly by any stretch of the imagination, but yeah, like nothing was throwing him off. There was some random, like there was a tennis question thrown in there too that he answered like nothing even happened, which I thought was pretty impressive because it was like, it was funny. I get why they asked it, but it was a total non sequitur. But I totally agree. I was just excited because it was like, right, this is sort of what's kicking off here. This is, hey, we're getting together in the room. We're getting the media together here. This is, and not everyone was there, obviously, but this is what's going to happen to start the season. And I totally agree with you on the part where, yeah, he's just the coach. And there's been turnover among that coaching staff, too. So now it's like where he needs to be even more in charge. Like last year, we felt like he was probably sort of learning on the fly, and he had this really great backbone of just sort of people behind him and organizational strength behind him. Now he still has that. It's a little different this year. But watching those two guys at the press conference, it does instill you with a lot of confidence that these guys are just super steady hands. That's really what it is. It's two super steady-handed guys that it's going to be hard to throw them off, whether, you know, by a little fishing question or if it's like a, you know, big things heading into the weight of expectation heading into the season, which is probably bordering on overwhelming. You wouldn't get the sense of it from these guys. It's just like these are two just super steady dudes, and it's really nice to see knowing that we're going to the season like that.
Yeah, and I think like it's, you know, I don't know if there's a comp that you would look at other GMs, other head coaches, where at the start of a big season or, you know, even throughout it, where, yeah, sometimes the passion is exciting, right? Like the energy can be this overwhelming thing, whether it's before the season starts or midway through or as you're approaching the playoffs. But I think that that's dangerous. Like that's almost indicative of like volatility potentially if you don't feel like steady as we go here. And I think it would have been easy, not in this press conference, but in general, for either one of these guys to be like, hey, you know, we signed that KD extension, you know, and just really start to get like almost self-congratulatory around things you've accomplished, as opposed to, you know, you just said, we made it through last year with all this stuff that happened to this team and this roster, and there was trades and there was incoming pieces. Like that might actually feed into it as well, having some sense of, we now kind of know, while we're going to get into some of the variables here, but this feels like a much calmer approach to the start of the season than even last year did, because as we know, they ended up adding another superstar in the process of this. Things are a lot more balanced now, I think, heading into this year.
Hey, look at some of the other sports teams in and around New York and tell me if you feel the same level of confidence about how the organizations are run. The Knicks were sort of a trash pile for a while. They're coming out of that, so I'm not going to put them in that category anymore. Look at the football teams, though. Like for years with the Jets, it seems like they might be starting to turn a corner. Who knows? But organization, you're like, what are they doing? Yeah. Like, what's the plan here? Giants don't even get me. You know what better than anybody about how the if you asked if there was a plan for the Giants, you'd be like, you wouldn't bet your life on it. I'll tell you that right now.
Don't bet the kid you love. I tell you that right now.
Forget your life. I'm not even sure you'd bet like, you know, $20 that if they had like a sort of hierarchical plan about what the future held. It's just not, you just don't get that sense from this team. And that's really, in a day and age where it can be sort of up in the air about what maybe the sort of the plan is around a team and whether you trust that they're going to stay the course, even if things get a little rocky, or if they have, you know, if they have the long-term goals mixed in with the short-term goals as well, you really can't say that about every sports organization. And it's so clear through every move that the Nets have made / who is doing it, that whether it's going, I'll put it this way, whether it works or not, we'll not know. You can't go into the season without thinking at least like they've done everything possible to make it happen, and it's starting with these two guys, right? Like, so results be damned. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Who knows? The world could end tomorrow. We'll never know. But at least right now, not to get like nihilistic on it.
It took a dark turn there real quick. I thought we were talking about championships. Turns out this could all end. Just everyone
wait to
be
hear
aware.
Segment two. Wait to hear. but you can't look at it any other way and say, okay, well, at least I know that the people driving this ship have a clue. Like, yeah. And the ship, whatever's going to happen to the ship, we don't know. There's lots of variables, but at least we know that the people behind the wheel clearly have a very good handle on, like, what is going on.
Yeah, you just want to have that sense of, you know, wheel, ship, whatever it is. Like, in any set of circumstances, regardless of outcome, you don't want someone flailing, saying, like, we'll see what happens here. Even if the destination remains the same, you'd still rather feel like there's a level of confidence and reassurance that we have plotted the course. The result will be the result, but in our minds, we've done everything possible to set ourselves up for success, and that's why you can feel good about taking a step back, a deep breath, and going, great, let's get to the season, and let's start to see this process unfold.
For sure. We're going to talk about some of the things that these guys talked, Steve Nash and Sean, I should say Steve Nash and Sean Marks, not these guys, talked about in the press conference. They did get into some particulars about a bunch of different topics. We want to cover as much as we can because, again, not the longest press conference in the world, but plenty to dive into. First, got to tell you about our friends over at DirecTV. Look, DirecTV Stream, you know, this sounds familiar to you. You've got a device. You're watching the game live on one device. There's another one where you're streaming your favorite shows. Sometimes you just kind of grabbed your neighbor's password because they were cool and maybe swapped something out, but that's over on your phone. It can be tough to keep track of this stuff. Right now, there's a way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite shows, movies, sports, all in one place. These days, that's harder than it seems. No more juggling remotes. No more buying another device ever again. No annual contract either. They're not going to lock you in. You can get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. Learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Contents vary by package. And in the world of fantasy sports, Sleeper realized a couple years ago that fantasy basketball was broken. If you play fantasy basketball, you know that sometimes you can run up against experts like Josh Lloyd over there at the Locked On NBA Fantasy Show. Go check that one out if you want an edge. But games were being won and lost based on players who had more scheduled games that week. If you played fantasy basketball, you know what I'm talking about. Streaming players in there, it made no sense, required very little strategy. But Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week, and each starter to count toward their team's total score. You get an even number of games played between opponents. The days of losing because your opponent's players just simply played more games, those days are over. Mindless days of busy work are over as well. Sometimes you know the feeling too. You give up halfway through the season. That's not going to happen to you either. Right now, you can go over and redraft. You can do a keeper. You can do Dynasty Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy football or basketball, if you prefer building a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You won't be disappointed. Download the Sleeper app and start the Games Pick League today. Download that Sleeper app now.
All right, so among the, I'll say more important information, right? Let's go top level down as we like to do on the podcast. And we'll also do for little visual aids, if you don't mind watching over on YouTube. I think the biggest thing that came out at the top of this, when we talk just about the players and what Sean Marks really for him as a GM communicated, you've been hearing about the rumors on this. And it was in regards to the Kyrie and Harden extension. Sean Marks mentioned, we've had very positive conversations with both of those guys. It always helps to do those things in person. Goes on to say that he's looking forward to furthering those discussions further these next few weeks. I mean, just on that basis alone, this has always been a matter of when, not if, but does that ring, I don't know if it rings true, that the idea that, hey, we just want to sit down and talk with these guys, and maybe we had a chance to do that with Kevin Durant, we haven't had a chance to do it with the other two yet, and then once we do it, it'll get done. But I think it is nice to kind of get that little extra check here at the press conference of Marks confirming, yes, still going to happen, just a matter of once we get together.
Yeah, this was, again, I think we're both in the camp of this seems like foregone conclusion territory more than anything else. I don't think that there's any chance that these guys don't re-sign the extensions short of something crazy happening, and I don't even know what that would be. So, and that's really how I read this from, I read this from Marks that way too. You know, he made a mention of not wanting to get in the way of family time either, and sort of like not wanting to have that take precedent, knowing that this is the off season, and when the regular season starts, then all eyes are going to be on basketball, and that's where our focus is going to be. But he made mention of saying, like, this is family time. We don't want to intrude on that. That all spelled to me that, like, it wasn't, not that it wasn't a priority, but it wasn't urgent in the sense that, like, hey, this is just going to get done. Like, yeah, we're not going to, like, let's not bother ourselves with this right now. You guys do your workouts. You guys spend time with your family. Take your vacations. Travel overseas. We know Harden was traveling. You know, some of these guys had taken vacations and stuff just through social media. You could see it happen. So, That just, like, all that told me was it's going to get done. We just didn't feel like we needed to be bothered with it right now, because when we're all back in the same room, we'll figure out what the scenarios are, and then that, and away you go, right? Is that a fair assessment of that quote? Because to me, that's kind of what it felt like he was saying.
Oh, yeah, and it's also, I think it rings to that idea of, and maybe this, we can say it's Kyrie specific. I think it's true of any basketball player in general, but just that sense of, remember, Kyrie, I'll say specifically, has spoke to the idea of his interest off the court and family time, personal time. So this just makes it sound also that Sean Marks understands that, as we always assumed they did coming into it, the same way that Steve Nash talked about it when he first took on the head coaching role of, we get it. Like, part of this culture, we like to use that term sometimes, is respecting these guys as individuals and as people first before we worry about the basketball stuff, knowing that right, the basketball stuff is going to get taken care of. So it's just another, again, maybe this will be the theme of the podcast, another check mark of, yeah, it looks like you're doing that right as well, which is a really consistent, I'll say, approach from Sean Marks, Steve Nash, and the Nets organization.
Right. And again, it's like it speaks to value, like the priorities or the value propositions that they're offering as a team. And I think when there's supreme confidence around what the plan is going to be, you are not, I think you can speak very confidently about the situation without saying anything, knowing that it's not going to be interpreted anyway. Like, this isn't, like, yeah, there's no one making outsized contract demands. No one's going to the media to say, oh, hey, I want this and they're not respecting me, or I need to get paid. No, none of this has happened. So I think at that point, short of the extension being signed, you can't say that it's going to get done 100%, because that's just bad negotiating. You should never say something's done when it's not. You should probably never say, I think it's going to be, it's like just about done either. You just say, hey, we made progress. We're going to sit down. We're going to do this stuff. These are all code words for it's going to get done without actually saying it. So, from a negotiating standpoint, that's really all I heard. And we know this is going to be the case. Where else are you going to go? It's not, if you're James Harden or Kyrie, I'm not saying that you have nowhere to go. You could literally go anywhere. Anyone would sign these guys right now to extensions, or they would pick them up on the free agent market immediately. It's not that. It's that, what better situation are you going to go to? You've come and created a perfect situation for yourself. And, you know, Harden did it through facilitating, helping to get the trade facilitated there. But regardless, you all ended up in a place you wanted to be. From that point on, even if, like, does that mean, this is the other part of it too, is that there's nowhere else to go. And not for lack of options, it's just because you've created the perfect situation for yourself. There's no situation that's going to improve at this point.
Yeah, no, exactly. We highlighted this, it could have been weeks ago, could have been seconds ago, with the way our podcasting, you know, workload goes sometimes. But that idea of where you get drafted, that's something you don't get to control. Where maybe you end up signing that first extension because you're worried about the contract. All of these guys were at points in their career through different methods, but they were all in places where it was, I get to choose where I want to go. I get to decide what the best situation is for me. And there's no reason, you know, barring some type of fallout amongst these three players, they all just accomplished the goal of getting together in Brooklyn. So why would they all of a sudden be thinking, you know what we should do is wait and see. And by the way, the first and biggest component of Kevin Durant already having signed his extension also tells these two guys, us staying here means we're staying with Kevin Durant, as opposed to if this had happened in a different order, then maybe you could take that step back and say, well, Harden, we want to sign you, you know, get you re-upped first. He might wait and hesitate, thinking, what if Durant and Irving aren't fully on board with this or any other variation of that? Because Kevin Durant is going to be here, it makes it a very easy to me sign, extension signing for both of these guys.
Yeah, 100%. So I think like that part was just nice confirmation that this is going to be something that we talked about earlier in the summer about this is we're gearing up as Nets fans right now, Nets podcast, Nets fans to be watching these guys for a long time. I think that's really the whole story is that this offseason, the biggest news was the Durant extension. It wasn't treated like the biggest news. It just was. And the next piece of biggest news will when these guys extend as well. And the Nets fans will be in a place that we've never been before, really, which is to say, with three superstars for the foreseeable future that are all, at least at this point, happy. Look, NBA's fickle with this stuff. Who knows? But, yeah, we're in a situation like that where it's just, yeah, it's cool. It's awesome to be in. Like, the time to win is now, for sure. And you know that there's going to be other bites of the apple, it would seem, around this core. So, yeah, it's just really, really a fun time. There is some other stuff that they got into. They got into some vaccine stuff. I don't know if you want to hit that first here. We've got a couple other things about players as well. They did touch on the vaccine piece from a standpoint of, you know, where... And we're bringing it up because it's like sort of tantamount to how the players are going to be able to interact on the court. So you want to, hit us with the vaccine piece and we can respond to it.
Yeah, because we got some other quick stuff to other things to get to. And these are just kind of footnotes. Matt Brooks, who does a lot of the reporting there as well, along with Brian Lewis. So Matt Brooks had this covered over on Twitter. Marks on the vaccine mandates. Quote, I can't get into details for a variety of different reasons. Those are individual decisions. It's out of our control. We're supporting getting the vaccination and putting out a healthy squad. We don't see these mandates being any sort of hindrance. Brian Lewis then followed up with just associating Sean Marks' comments around there being a couple of guys, Nets players, who aren't fully vaccinated, but he, Sean Marks, expects that they will be in time for practice to start when they get underway here in the training camp leading up to the season. So, you know, again, we covered this previously as far as what we were hearing around the arenas and certain states and those different guidelines in that regard. And you had highlighted the percentage of players and organizations, everybody top to bottom, that are vaccinated leads you to believe across the board for the league, by the way, let alone the Nets, that this isn't going to be a big concern by the time the season gets underway because it'll be all but buttoned up. And that was the indication you got from Marks in the presser.
Yeah, 100%. I think they're going to, it's just at this point, it's not really a debate about vaccines. It's more of a, you know, just a workplace thing that this is what they've come up with. So your opinion is moot at this point about whether you're on one side or the other. This is just what the situation is now leading into the season. And it looks like they feel pretty confident about it. It is interesting that not everyone's there right now. I think that like, I do wonder if there's a piece of them that's not concerned with it, but that there's a logistical hurdle that. And he was very clear. He's like, I can't talk about it. I'm not going to get into specifics. He was, you know, he's not going to mention, you know, who they're discussing this with or who it remains an open discussion with. But in the end, it doesn't appear like the mandates that have been put on New York City specifically are going to fall into a situation where it's going to affect the team at all. So, okay, a couple other things that we're going to get into about the presser. Like I said, probably tomorrow, like we'll get into more of an individual player piece of it. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. Look, we just got one of these in the mail the other day. Family went running for it. There's just no other way around it. The Built Bar box comes. Everyone wants to get their hands on it. They send a little variety pack. So there's a little something for everybody. Coconut, mint, brownie, strawberry, cookies, and cream. Just some of the flavors you can get from Built Bar, the very best protein bar on the market. You've probably tried some other of the competitors out there. You've had that little kind of spongy, kind of no flavor kind of thing going on. You just don't even bother with it. Go with Built Bar. You're going to be happy. You're not going to be disappointed. And then you get the stats, baby. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar. That's a sweet spot. Only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all healthy for you. You go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, our friends over at betonline.ag want you to know that they're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron, that's football, as teams are back to start another football season. We're a few weeks into the NFL, college football underway also. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action in this upcoming year. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests are available on betonline.ag as it continues to be the number one source for everything football. You can head over to the website or use that little mobile device in your pocket to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code, though, NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on. So the other things then is from that high level, you talk about really focusing on Nash and Marks in that regard. They do talk about some things I think carry over from last year. You found it interesting that when asked about seeding, you know, championship expectations, I think we know that that's the case. But in regards to seeding, we talked about this a lot down the stretch last year and what maybe they could have accomplished. I think I had the sense of if they could have gone back and done it differently, maybe they would have pushed a little harder. And that just means, you know, shifting rest days into different, you know, slots as opposed to maybe taking them against a weaker opponent and using it to take on Philly and maybe grab that spot. Were you surprised that essentially they kind of dismissed seeding again going into this year?
Yeah, he didn't Sean Marks didn't outright dismiss it, but he might as well have. He said that they, at the end of the season, they would sort of look at the seeding as the amount of progress that they had made during the year and use it to evaluate sort of what they had done. And I think he used the word hang their hat on that, but they would be able to hang their hat on whatever seed it was. And he kind of went one all the way down through five, I think. I don't know if it was like sort of a hedge to talk about, but I kind of saw it as, well, I don't think any GM is not going to come out and say it's one seed or bust. No one's going to say that, even if that was the plan. So I think we can start there. But the part where he sort of basically said, it's kind of like, I got the sense that he was saying that it just isn't going to matter to them. And I don't think this is new for the NBA. I think most teams in the NBA at this point understand that the regular season, especially when you're at the level of the Nets, is an extended preseason, basically. Right. It's a very long preseason that gears you up for the thing that really matters. Home court advantage matters to some degree, for sure. It probably only matters very much around the edges when it comes right down to it, but it's not at the cost of pushing yourself to, you know, win every single game during the year so that you get the one seed. Right. So I don't think, the way he answered it didn't make me think that it's a priority for them. Didn't actually probably even make me think that it's a talking point for them. And so it's going to be a talking point for, you know, us and other people in the media game because it just ends up seeding. Probably seems like it's really, really important, but I don't think to the Nets it's going to be. I do have like one thought about, there's a chance, maybe I'll save this for, there's like one scenario I think that I can see them really pushing the regular season, but I'll wait on that one as we get closer to the season. So there is a scenario I think I could see them maybe going for it, but it has less to do with seeding. Anyway, so did you kind of take that talk about that in the same direction? I just didn't get the sense that they're going to care at all.
Well, no, and it's funny. It does bubble up a lot of other thoughts that we will, as we kind of assumed, with the focus on some of the player-specific topics that were brought up during this press conference. We'll get into it on the next episode. But yeah, the same sense, too, because when Steve Nash was asked about, just in general, the push, the championship, all of these things, he mentioned, going back to last year, that heading into the playoffs, they got a 1.5-game sample size of their vision of their 9-man rotation before Jeff Green went down, right. And that was it. And I think that when you carry over, listen, some players are different. We know they had some new free agent signings. Some guys left. Some guys were traded. But at the end of the day, that has to still stay with the GM and stay with the head coach where they go, no, we're not pushing the envelope here. And it doesn't matter how it happened last year. Down the stretch, we're not going to end up potentially risking the health of our team, right, when it's going to matter most, the playoffs. Because if they could have, someone told them whatever it was, play Harden X minutes less or one game less. If there was anything that they could have looked into a magic crystal ball and known, they would have shut everybody down and gone as a 7th seed last playoffs if they knew they would have been healthy. Because to your point, there's not a world where even on the road, especially in early rounds of the playoffs, when you have this type of talent, you don't look and go, boy, as an eighth seed, this is concerning. They expect to beat every single team they're going to go up against. So there's no concern around, are we going to be outplayed or outclassed? The concern for the Nets organization is health. And that's why things like this, these are the carryover lessons I think you learned from the year prior, and why he all but indicates this is not going to dictate how we approach the season.
100%. It's just, by the way, in the modern NBA, it can't be. No one else is approaching it this way. There's just no one, short of fighting for those play-in seeds, which the Nets are not going to be at risk of at all. Look, the Nets barely played healthy last year and were the two seed. Yep. Right. And they were not exactly pillars of health. They
also
barely,
probably bullies again, their confidence, right? Like, they're like, also, we dealt with some things and almost did it anyway. So why would we be taxing ourselves to accomplish something we may get as a byproduct of just being as good as we are?
And they're built even better this year.
Yep.
And so they were a two seed with, you know, not bad health, but inconsistent health for sure around the superstars during the season, as evidenced by how little they had played together going into the finals, or excuse me, into the playoffs. And they came out with a two seed. And so even, 30% better health plus a better roster, they're not going to miss the playoffs. They'd have to have so much would have to go wrong for them to be below a three seed, honestly, that I don't even know. I kind of shudder to think what that would even be, because if they're fighting for the fourth seed, let's say, something has gone so wrong that I don't even know. I don't even want to start going through the scenarios.
I was going to paint a picture and be like, nope, let's not even verbalize that. But to your point, it's just, you'd have to get pretty extreme to have this team outside of the top three seeds.
Like I said, it would natural disasters are involved, like really untimely stuff, like national news stuff. It's so far out of the realm of possibility.
And Space it's just Jam's just, one movie plot, aliens come down, they all touch the ball, say, yeah. They lose the skills, that sort of thing. Yeah, Danny DeVito.
Yeah, we had to send like KD and Harden off to play the aliens because like that was part of the team, or Kyrie. Those three had to go off and play the aliens to like fight off the world conquest and like sort of Space Jam style. And now we're just left with a B team, and even then they're probably the fourth seed. So
they're still the fourth seed.
Yeah. So anyway, this is not at risk of any of these things happening. So it's one of these things where we've been talking about it all summer. We sort of know the beats. We know exactly what's happening with this team. It was a nice little confirmation to hear from the GM, to hear from the coach, to talk, finally see these guys sitting up on the little dais and talk and in the Nets warm up outfits, and just means basketball is headed back down the pike here. We're less than a month away, I think, from tip off. I should have had that queued up.
17th.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Less than a month. There you go. We're not pros for nothing. We're not getting paid the big bucks on the podcast for nothing.
I don't scream numbers at you for nothing.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Okay, we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk more about what they said about individual players. They got into it a little bit with Aldridge. Some really interesting stuff about Aldridge. Some interesting stuff about Claxton as well. They talked about Joe Harris, Patty Mills. Outside the superstars, there were discussions around some of the other guys that are going to be, the main players among the big group of guys. We'll get into more of that tomorrow, because each one of those requires a little bit more discussion. In the meantime, make sure you're heading over to YouTube. Really nice following already on YouTube. The yes. channel's only been up about a week or 2 weeks or something like that. Already getting a bunch of comments on YouTube. You can go see us. Got the graphics going. Just see our mugs up on screen. YouTube channel, the link will be in the notes, but you can just search Locked On Nets on YouTube as well, and you're going to stumble upon it. Go check it out. That's as good as helping out the podcast as following us on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe over on YouTube, the Locked On Nets.
Boy, and on a day like this, Douglas, your birthday, it's worth mentioning. Oh. Aging can be fun if you lie back and enjoy it. Clint Eastwood.
He's got one of his last movie ever coming out this week, Cry Macho, baby.
It's like the fourth last movie that he's made, but it's neither here nor there.
One of the all-time great quotes. I will say, everyone should be just like making their last movie when they're like 92 or whatever he is right now. So so there you go. Okay, Clint Eastwood, one of the all-time great quotes. We'll be back again talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball tomorrow, everybody. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.